Welcome to Confessions of a Homemaker, a podcast where we discuss and unpack all the things in light of biblical truth. Hey, I'm your host, Haley Lindberg. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year! Hey! Welcome here, beautiful. How are you? Okay, so we just have a little minute. I don't have very long. We'll see how long this lasts. As you guys know, we bought a house. Praise God. And it is Christmas, and we are hosting some family. And we just have projects everywhere. And my mother-in-law is coming to help me today. So I need to do this quickly while my children are outside playing. I'm trying to learn their rhythm of play in this new, house. It's a different, every home we live in, they have a different rhythm of play. I'm going to do an episode on that. So if that sounds interesting to you, come check it out. That'll be probably my next one for this, from my first episode for 2022. Can y'all believe it's 2022? It's very bizarre. Anyway, so this is my last episode of 2021. So, we're just gonna get into it. So, I love theology and philosophy, and probably my favorite thing in theology is the incarnation. And I don't know if it's just because I love it. I don't know, or it could just be embedded, that part of the gospel is what planted so deeply, in my heart when I chose to trust and believe in Jesus. So just throughout my entire Christian life, I was actually talking to a friend about this the other day. I can count on one hand three times in the 17 years that I've been a Christian that I have tried to walk away from the faith. And every time, the Holy Spirit always brings me back to just how in awe I am of the incarnation. I actually tried to record this episode yesterday, and it was like an hour long. I spent like 30 minutes just talking about that, about how that theme throughout my walk and how this relates to Christmas and all of this. But I was like, no, this is too long. I need to re-record this episode. Lord be with me. So so anyway, I love the incarnation. And I think as believers, we need to love the incarnation. We need to study the incarnation. And I believe that the research that you do on Christmas, if that's your thing, that is what Christ Mass, this church service, that is what they were focusing on, setting aside a time of worship, prayer, communion, meditating, you know, having that thought in their mind over and over, biblical meditation of, just worshiping the Lord for, the incarnation, for Jesus. So with that foundation, let's start there. So, and I think this is important because that's the main focus of Christmas. It should be if you choose to celebrate Christmas. So I think as believers, I think there's two sides to it. I think you either need to do, a Christocentric incarnational focus, zooming in that God became man. Because without that, the gospel is powerless. And maybe that's why it's so important to me, coming from an LDS background because they don't believe Jesus is God. He's our spirit brother, which that's their theology. I do not believe that, and that is heresy and not within Orthodox historical Christian teaching ever. That's a false gospel. So God becoming man, the hypostatic union, like that is the cornerstone, I would say, the purpose of the gospel. If God did not become human, and he wasn't fully human and fully God, his sacrifice would have been nothing, and we wouldn't be able to be reconciled with a holy God and be in, and receive the Holy Spirit and be in relationship and communion with him. So this is foundational. And I think if you're a believer, if it's it needs to be centrochristic, meaning, I'm not saying this word right, meaning Christos, I'm not saying the word right, oh my gosh, being focused on Christ, that's what the word means, okay? Christocentric, I'm not saying it. Anyway, moving on. Whether that's celebrating a biblical feast around this time of year, like Hanukkah, or what is it, the Feast of Lights, I believe. I could be wrong. I have friends who do biblical feasts, so message me and correct me. I'm very open to rebuke because I know I got that totally wrong. So, celebrating a feast that points to Christ or celebrating a very Christocentric Advent, hyper focus on Jesus being born as a human. So, with that being said, we're just gonna, go straight into the conversation. So the conversation is, as Christian parents, mothers, is it biblical? Thinking biblically, being consistent in every area of our motherhood, is it wise? Is it ethical? Is it good? Is it beautiful? Is it true to indulge, participate, orchestrate, architect thinking, building of a myth of Santa Claus, the tradition of Santa Claus, not Saint Nicholas, two totally different figures, and we're gonna get into that. Is that something we should be doing? So this is like a meditative stripping down our thinking tradition, just really meditating on that as mothers who are Christian and we want to be biblical, we want to be biblically minded, Christ-centered. Is this true? Is this beautiful? Is this good for us to construct, participate in the myth of Santa Claus? So, from my experience, I grew, all of y'all are know this. If you don't, just, listen to my, I don't even know what to point you to, because I feel like I mention it every time. I grew up in a home, very postmodern philosophy. What is true? True is true to you. Secular minded, like, no specific, religion. And if I did have a religion, to look to, it was Mormonism. Any type of religious structure, holy book, higher power, deity thing, it was in the realm of LDS, the Latter-day Saint church cult. So I, even when we did holidays, all of them, they were totally secular, not rooted in any type of tradition in any way of religion or anything like that. So very commercialized version of holidays. Where my husband grew up, very, homeschool tradition, fundamentalist type upbringing. So they did Advent, they went to church, they did all of those things. His entire upbringing, where me, my journey into celebrating Christmas in Christianity didn't start until I was 12, I believe. And just totally mind-blowing 180 experience, like just woo. So I've experienced both. My husband didn't really experience both until he met me at 15, and just how secular and non-religious we did Christmas, and he was just like blown away. Like it just blew his echo chamber wide open. So I got exposure to how different families do it. So when we got married, this was before we got married, we did premarital counseling, and this was one thing that I would say tradition very gripped my heart. Childhood memories gripped my heart. We did not agree. He from day one has never wanted to do holiday secular, no Santa, no none of that. And then me, I'm like, no. You know, that to me, in my mindset, you know, almost 10 years ago, I was like, this is a rite of passage, just as part of Christmas. Like just part of being an American kid. Like you do Santa. Like it's the excitement, it's the learning patience for Christmas morning. It's believing in wonder and using your imagination. Like I just had this very traditional just thing. Anyway, so we just did, we agreed to disagree, and we just were like, okay, we'll figure it out when we have kids, which if you are not married, that is a horrible, horrible, horrible strategy. Just don't do that. These things, I really wish couples would focus more on things like this, because these things are like pivotal, not only in your marriage, but in your motherhood and raising your kids. If you can't have these things figured out before they actually happen, that would be the ideal. So we have spent every year of Christmas has been totally different, which praise God, my kids were really little and we've kept certain things consistent, but just battling the Santa thing out has been a very just tension and horrible area in our marriage. So and I think whenever you have a husband who lets you think and be you, and they're not forceful, and they're just patient and long-suffering, and they want to talk these things out, like it's so helpful because you're not forced into an uncomfortable place of just submitting or feeling like just to keep the peace, I'm going to submit to this. Like it's a that's a horrible place to be, right? If you've ever done that. Sorry, I'm drinking coffee too. I'm trying to get my children to leave me alone. So I can do this really quickly. Okay, I appreciate you guys being so patient with me. Got them settled. So anyway, it's look it has evolved as we grow in our conversations and understanding theology, you know, just going deeper into things and trying to meditate on like, is this consistent in every area of our parenting? Okay, so with that being said, three, was it three? I think it was yeah, this is the third Christmas. So three Christmases ago, what would that have been? 2018, 2019? I don't remember. There's a saying in like direct sales or entrepreneurship, any type of like small business thing, people have to know, like, and trust you before they will buy anything from you or hear what you have to say. So, you know, like your audience has to trust you. So I started hearing things from people that I like, know, and trust about Christmas being pagan. And I am not the kind of person that like just totally will rat you off. Like I totally love disagreement and different types of thinking, and like I will hear you out because I want to know what is the root of this and how did you get to that conclusion. Anyone who knows me personally or has listened to my podcast long enough, they understand that like I just love to think deep, and I love to just talk to people, and really just mutually tolerate and understand where they're coming from, even if I disagree. And I feel like that grows you in your love as well, for your neighbor or your Christian brother and sister. So I had heard this obviously from like Jehovah's Witnesses and stuff, which I didn't take it as anything credible because it's a cult. And to protect myself from falsehood, I just don't agree with their premise. Anyway, so I heard this from people that I like, know, and respect. So I was like, okay, I will dig into this. So I jumped on the train of Christmas is Pagan. Went down this whole, it was probably took me about a year, but the way that I research things is I do, I hear it from both sides. I hear it from the secular, non-religious, groups, and I hear their pro and their con, and then I come over to, spiritual, religious tradition and like Christianity for me, and I hear the pro and I hear the con. I listen to both sides of the argument, who's against it, who's for it, and then I pray, I fast, I talk to my husband, I bounce it off people that I know have godly wisdom. And then I let the Holy Spirit lead me from there. So I did this for about a year. And guys, that Christmas was horrible. I cried on and off. It was very much rooted in fear, which is from the enemy. So that, I see that now. But at the time, I saw that as like, I just want to do what's right and pleasing to the Lord, and I love Him. And if that means I have to lay this thing completely on the altar and burn it, I will do that. And I really, and that's the heart of most people that I know that have come to these places. So I have love and respect and a deep understanding and empathy for my brothers and sisters who have chosen to step away from celebrating Christmas. My only encouragement and edification for y'all who have that position is please do something to honor Christ, whether that is Advent, whether that is a biblical feast, making your own thing. I don't care, just participate in this time of year to have a centro Christ, Christ-centered, we are, which we should do this year round, but I feel like we should put an emphasis on this. We do this once a year with our family. We celebrate us as a family. We sit and we read the story of Joshua. I think it's chapter 11. And we talk about just how faithful the Lord has been to us as our family and the adventures and the things that He's done in our family this past year. And we're celebrating our marriage. We're celebrating the gifts of our children. We share stories of when we were engaged and first got married, and these little memories that we cherish, when we found out we were pregnant, when we had our babies, milestones in our children, things that the Lord's brought us through as a family. So I think having monuments throughout the year of specific things that you zoom in on, I think that's very important for our children because it creates culture for them, where Christ is the center and where scripture is the foundation. Anyway, so I went through this whole thing and then I came to a place where, okay, we're gonna do Christmas, just not how everybody else does it, which it's pretty much how Haley rolls. I'm used to being the weirdo, the oddball out, and it's fine. So, oh, and what prompted this discussion was one, a podcast I was listening to by Pints with Aquinas. It's really, really good. It's about storytelling, myths, legends, literature, and I mainly focused toward children. And it was so good. I can send it to you. I can post it on my socials, but it was just a really, really good podcast. It was so long, but it was really, really good. Very helpful. It encouraged me in the things I'm doing well, and then it's pushing me. I got a lot of correction from the Holy Spirit, and it's pushing me to tweak some things in my homeschooling. So, very awesome podcast. So, with that in mind, they somehow the discussion of Santa came up, and they were talking about it, and I just really liked these brothers in Christ had very two different perspectives, but they pretty much came to the same conclusion. It was very just interesting to hear them talk that out and hash it out. And it was beautiful. So with that in mind, that also made me think of a quote that I saw in a Facebook group. If you're not in it, It's called Joyful Mothers. Rachel Swink, I think is her last name. Her dad is the head guy, Ray Comfort, at Living Waters Ministry. And she has this Facebook group, and man, it is so good. It's so good. She's a grandma, and her wisdom is just amazing. She's got five kids. So good. So she posted this, and what I've noticed in Christendom, when we bring up traditions or a tweak that you can make in your parenting, we just get all up in arms. Like we do not know how to be corrected, and we just get so offended so quickly instead of hearing someone else's perspective or how they might have done it, and them being a grandma, like we should listen to them because they have some type of wisdom. They have gone before us in motherhood, and I think what they have to say is valuable. I might not agree with you. I might do it completely different, but I believe what you have to say is of value. So she posted this, and I'm going to read it. Okay. Begin quote. While parents often have the best of intentions to want to create fun memories for their children, fairy tales portrayed as truth at Christmas are still lies and should not be a component of Christian parenting. We know that lying is a direct sin against God, and on top of that, we sadly give our children a rightful reason to distrust that we will always be faithful to tell them the truth. It's never too late to correct the record, end quote. Okay. So what I like about this, because this ties into the podcast that I was listening to, children don't like being deceived. They're very inclined to know when, like, they want to be told truth, right? And they trust mom and dad, especially grandparents, mom, dad, to give them the truth. So at the end of the day, the world is constantly bombarding my children with lies, and I want to be consistent in my parenting, and I want to be constantly giving them what is true. So I want to respect them as a person that's made in God's image, my neighbor, a gift that God has given me, a blessing, a grace. He opened my womb and he gave me my children. Sorry, guys. That's a whole nother thing I've been wrestling. Anyway, so they're his, they belong to him. I have them for a very, very short season, and I want to be a mother who values what is true, beautiful, and good. And how do we know that? We know that by knowing the God who made those things. He has the standard of what is good. He has the standard of what is beautiful, and he has the standard of what is true. So if I'm constantly pointing my children to those things, is Santa Claus the mythos, the mythical fairy tale creature that we've made in culture, is that consistent with that? And my answer to that would be no. My personal answer to that would be no. And this is not condemnation. This is just how I process these things. And also food for thought if your thought thinking is different. So another point, like I just said, he's a created mythical creature. Do our kids know, in our motherhood, are we making it known the difference between myth, fairy tales, tall tales, and what is true in nonfiction in storytelling? So, if this was radical in my parenting, if you haven't done this, like every time you tell them a story, a poem, anything in literature, making it known if this is true or false, if it's nonfiction or if it's fiction. So if we're reading something in scripture, this is a story, but it's a true story. It's not, it's history, it's nonfiction. Whereas if we're reading anything by, Brothers Grimm, Treasure Island, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, like this is a story, but it's fiction. Does that make sense? So, whenever we are talking about Santa, we've made it very known with our children that there was a Saint Nicholas, saint meaning someone in Christ, We're all saints if we're in Christ. And he was a person who's an actual man who loved God and he loved his neighbor by taking care of the orphan and the widow. And somehow I think definitely me, I fell into this, that somehow I bought into the lie that my kids would be missing out on some type of rite of passage by not participating in the mythical Santa Claus. And that is just not true. And I just I wish I would have had this earlier on in my motherhood. But that's a lie. They will not miss out on the excitement. They will not miss out on the wonder. They will not miss out on anything when we honor God and we're consistent, not only in our theology, but our thinking and our parenting. So, telling them the difference between the fairy tale of Santa Claus, that is, in the poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. No one was stirring, not even a mouse. Yeah, a Christian wrote that, but he wrote that in the intention of fiction, not reality. Or presenting it to our children like it is reality. So this is where I believe the Catholics have an advantage, the way that they talk about life after death with the saints, or being alive with Christ, because Paul even says in scripture, like when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. So I feel like this transition with Catholics is much easier because like they'll pray to a certain saint to like help them find keys or get pregnant or whatever, which I don't agree with that. But whenever they, honor Saint Nicholas, you could, be like, oh, cool, look what Saint Nicholas helped us do this Christmas. That's not like a big disconnect with the Catholic family, where with Protestants it is. So, I love that, and this is what we're trying to do with our Christmas, honoring and memorial. Oh, I don't know if I want to say memorializing, but honoring and pointing to the obedience, the charity, the love that Nicholas had for God, and because he had it for his neighbor, and we're honoring and remembering that. We do that with my father-in-law. We do this with people, with my grandpa. We do this with people in our family who have already gone to be with the Lord. And I don't see there should in my family, I don't want there to be any disconnect with the saints who've gone before us, like Saint Patrick, Saint Nicholas, Saint Teresa of Avila, like just these different Saint, Thomas Aquinas, like just these people who are very influential in the world because they loved God and they loved people. It's giving our kids tangible examples and we're pointing them to truth, right? So I'm gonna wrap this up really quickly. So what we have done with our children is we tell them the story of Saint Nicholas. We tell them about his life, his ministry, what the Lord allowed him to do with his life here, and that he used his time here on earth well to love God and to love his neighbor. We also tell them the little, we don't know if it's true or not, but the little legend that he punched a heretic at the Council of Nicaea for denying the divinity of Christ, which is huge for me because he's defending the incarnation. We don't really know if that's true. It's just kind of like a telephone word of mouth kind of thing. But it's funny and it just shows, his integrity and his courage. But that, we have a stocking with our children and we tell them that this is one of the ways that we honor his memory around Christmas time is we give them a stocking. We don't say it's from him or it came from him or he came and dropped it off or that he personally put gifts in there. For me as a kid, I was actually reflecting on this. We were in the military and we moved around a lot, and my grandparents made us a set of keys that had painted Santa on them, and those were magical keys that Santa used to get into our house. I remember having so much angst of excitement, but also I was kind of creeped out because he always knew where we were. Which is kind of like an omnipresence, which that only belongs to the Lord. So, and I didn't make that connection as a kid. I just thought it was very strange that he always knew where we were. So if you think, if you step back, what Christological or God attributes are we putting on Santa Claus that could potentially confuse our children? Just food for thought on that. But we do, you know, we make cookies. We're gonna make reindeer deer food and put it in the yard. I don't know if they're gonna eat it, but we're gonna try it because it sounds fun. We listen to Christmas music. We have tradition where my and we read stories and we watch movies and we're building that those memories that our children are gonna bury in their hearts forever, forever. And but we're not lying to them. And I have so much peace about that like I'm not stealing anything from their childhood and I'm not lying to them. And I have so much peace about that where this is my first year that I've had complete and total peace on this subject, on this area, not only theologically, but also in my motherhood, in my marriage. That was a huge one. But yeah, just food for thought. Another thing that I listened to, the Paul and Morgan show on YouTube, and they talked about this too. You know, they're not parents, and a lot of their audience is really young and also not parents, but I liked their insight and what they had to say. And here's the thing, guys, I don't think less of people who do Santa. I don't. And I Morgan actually said that in the show. She's like, I don't look at people who, you know, participate in the fake Santa Claus and like, ooh, like I don't think less of them as parents or Christians or anything like that. This is just how we have arrived at how we are gonna do it when we have children. And so I appreciated how she said that because for some reason when we come to someone's idea and we want to deconstruct it, when we come at someone's thoughts or position and we just want to unravel it to understand it, or even if we disagree with it and we want to talk about why, people get so up in arms and it's just drives me insane. And in the church we need maturity in that area. Like we should be able to, as brothers and sisters, peacefully, and maybe people didn't have practice with this within their own home. Maybe that's one of the reasons why. Because like I tell my kids all the time, our home is the training center for how to love God and how to love our neighbor. Within our walls, like we are a community in our walls. And so when we leave this place, we are practicing the things that we have learned here. We're putting them into action out there, in the larger community, in the larger world. You know, we're creating a little safe world for our children within our home, but then there's also a world out there that they have to learn how to function and love and be, you know, being people of integrity. And I really do feel like the finally the position that me and my husband have come to in this area is going to help our children continue. It's putting a foundation of integrity that we're always going to do the right thing no matter what, period. That we are always going to tell them the truth, period. That we are always going to point them to what is good, what is true, and what is beautiful, no matter what. We're always going to point them to the gospel, no matter what. We're always going to point them to scripture, no matter what. We're always going to point them to the creator of the cosmos, no matter what. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. I hope you were edified, encouraged, maybe provoked to thought. Just to think deeper. Anybody who knows me, I love to make people think deeper. So I hope that you guys have a merry holiday, however you're choosing to end this year, just do something that celebrates the Lord's faithfulness and what he's done in 2021. And come back in January so we can talk about the rhythms of play in our children and how we can structure our day around that. Well, I love you, ladies. Have a wonderful end of your year, beautiful.
Thank you for joining me for this conversation. I hope that it blessed you. I hope it encouraged you, and I hope that it causes you to persevere and endure and grow. And I want you to do me a favor. If you are digging this podcast, I would love if you would subscribe, follow, share it with a friend, write a review, go find me on social media, and thank you so much for your support.